This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Years ago, a doctor gave up his daily drinking habit and moved back home to start a radio show. And now, today, he is 30 years Frasier here on the 30 Years Greater podcast on Post Show Recaps and RHAP, where we are going back every week 30 years into the past to talk about movies, and in this case, a TV show from the 1990s. I'm Josh Wigler. I'm joined here by Rob Sesternino, where every single week, Rob, we're making the chopped salad and the scrambled eggs that is known as 30 Years Greater.
Josh, I'm listening. Yeah, it's a toss salad.
It's a toss salad.
Don't get it twisted.
Okay, well, listen, as we're about to discover, my Frasier know-how is limited.
Yes.
Let's call it limited here.
Yes.
As today, I'm 30 years greater after the Frasier series premiere. Baby's watching his first Frasier. Baby's first Frasier today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Well, I hope that you are enjoying the ride. It is 30 years greater for the premiere of Frasier, but also very timely. Not just that we did a season 3, episode 7 of Frasier on Renap about 2 months ago, but also that the Frasier reboot is headed to Paramount Plus. Frasier, the new class is coming to Paramount.
October 12th. For return of Frasier, October 12th, 2023, just about 30 days greater from the moment that you and I are pressing record on this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do we have a civic duty to go and check out the Frasier reboot premiere in 30 days greater from now?
Yeah, I mean, PSR isn't already doing an episode recap.
Probably. Yeah. I expect we probably are. I suspect that we will do something of that nature. But today, we will talk about the series premiere of the OG Frasier, the Ridge. September 16th, 1993 is when Frasier originally premiered. We're going to talk about it here on 30 Years Greater, which you can subscribe to. We certainly recommend that. Yep. Go to postshowrecaps.com/30, the RSS link when you search by URL, or you could just search Post Show Recaps 30 Years Greater and get us in your podcast player of choice. Leave a rating and review. Subscribe to that thing. Got fancy new artwork in that podcast feed. Look at that. It's nice. It's a cake just like Jason James Richter likes it. So a sheet cake for you and me here in your podcast feed. So subscribe to the podcast, 30 Years Greater. You want to watch the video version, you can do that too. postshowrecaps.com/YouTube. Check us out there, Rob.
All right, Josh, tell me about your blind spot here with Frasier.
Yeah, so
A pop culture oracle.
An oracle? Ooh,
yeah.
Yeah, I get to see the future and such.
And the past, more often than not.
Yes, it's true. I think you and I have come across this at certain points in our time together as podcast partners. I'm like pretty good when it comes to like the drama. And despite being sort of like an outwardly goofy person, like that tends to be what I like. I like something that's got like really meaty plot, deep character stuff, themes that make you feel. And so it's probably just like an unfair like wash across the genre that like sitcoms tend to not be the thing that I go and check out. And certainly as a kid, this was not my wheel.
If you're looking for themes that make you feel like, I do feel like that Frasier is probably like one of the most like well-written, you know, well-acted and, you know, there's more substance here than there was in many of the other sitcoms of the era, even compared to its predecessor, Cheers, and some of the more widely, you know, beloved sitcoms of the 90s, your Seinfelds and your Friends, that I do feel like that each episode of Frasier is kind of like a small movie.
Okay, well, that's really good to know, because I know nothing about it. You know, I watched the premiere for the sake of this podcast and got my first dose of Frasier, and I was really interested in the structure of the episode, that it seems like every single, if this follows through the episodes, that it has like this chapter structure within the episodes, which I thought was really interesting. The other big thing is that so many people that I know are like, they swear by Frasier.
Yeah.
They like live and breathe the Frasier gospel. And my wife, who is somebody who watched a lot of sitcoms as a young person, she actually did not watch Frasier. Frasier she missed. She'd seen a ton of Cheers, but didn't catch Frasier. But Frasier came on after Seinfeld. Is that right? According to Emily, she would see Frasier like start up after Seinfeld, or maybe it was before.
So no, I don't think it was that you're talking about, like on a certain night or chronologically.
Yeah. Right.
No, I believe that Cheers had been the show that was on Thursday, but I feel like that Frasier was never a part of the vaunted must-see TV. I feel like that Frasier was often on Tuesday on NBC.
Yeah.
Part of like a different block of comedy with like the maybe likes like of Third Rock situation. From the Sun. Maybe they might have.
Frasier and Third Rock from the Sun were paired together.
I feel like that's so, like, there was the like, the must-see TV shows, and then there was also, like, the other NBC sitcoms. I'm looking on the Wikipedia to see if they have that. But
you can imagine pretty easily John Lithgow and Kelsey Grammer swapping roles here, I think. John Lithgow as Frasier Crane, I think, works. And Kelsey Grammer is an alien. I can see it.
Yeah. What was the show with the Just Shoot Me also, I feel like, was one of those ones that was not part of the Thursday night comedies, but part of the other block of NBC comedies.
Not TGIF.
Not TGIF. Yeah. I feel like, you know, it was, you know, it was sort of like an anchor of a different night.
So I think that what I'm discovering as this podcast series, one of the things that I love about it, in addition to having a weekly appointment with the Rob Father himself, is that I'm getting to like remember what was my pop culture intake like. And I'm really remembering that like I was a movies person or a Saturday morning cartoons person. Like this is who I was at this moment in my life. And so I wasn't really a TV person unless it was like X-Men, Spider-Man, Batman the Animated Series, some Transformers. I just binged all of Beast Wars again recently for the first time in like 20 years. Like if it wasn't like that stuff, I probably wasn't watching a ton of TV, and that would take a turn around the 24 era and stuff like that for me, and things would change dramatically. But I was much more a movie person, and when it came to sitcoms, and like this is what I felt like all of TV was, and I think I just broad brushed it and avoided it and didn't want to have much to do with it, and instead was much deeper into my movie era, which I think is like really different from how your TV journey was, which is not just and like even less the sitcom-y stuff, though I'd love to hear more about that. But I know like game shows, all of that was like really critical.
TV, movies that were on TV. So it's much more about the TV experience. I do think that Frasier may have premiered on Thursday, and then after it became a hit, they moved it to Tuesday.
Got it.
And then I think in its retirement days post Seinfeld, I think it did go back to Thursday.
Just to
correct the record.
Yes. Okay. So then that makes sense because she knew the theme song very well. Mm-hmm. And like I had heard the theme song over the years. Baby, I hear the blues are calling, toss salad and scrambled eggs.
And it's not really a theme song, it's more like the outro.
Yeah. Is it every episode it does that?
Yes. Sung by Kelsey Grammer. Yeah.
But baby, I got you pegged.
Yep.
but I don't know what I have to do with that to salad and scrambled eggs. What is that about, by the way?
Calling again. Yeah.
Yeah, why are we talking about tossed salads and scrambled eggs?
Well, I think it has to do with Frasier's radio call-in show. Baby, I hear the blues. I think maybe like tossed salads and scrambled eggs, like that both are sort of like references to things that are sort of like mixed
like
up.
What he's
and
eating on his lunch break?
No, like, I feel like
he comes into the radio show steady diet of bound salads.
I feel like that it might be a little bit of a subtle dig at the mental health of the people calling Frasier.
Wow. All right.
Sort of mixed
30
up.
Years worse. 30 because years at worse.
Because that the last line is they're calling again.
They're calling again. Yeah. Yeah. Well, if he'd eaten bad tossed salad and scrambled eggs, they might be calling again too. So
never want to have the bad tossed salad.
A daily diet of such things feels feels intense. Okay, well, I'm glad
whatever
that you
floats your boat.
I'm glad that you made that make sense to me, Rob, because I left this episode not knowing. Like, I went into this episode remembering nothing about whatever surface details I remembered about Frasier, and I exited this one being reminded of the theme song, which I had heard before, and being like, what's the tossed salads and the scrambled eggs?
Yeah.
Very confusing to me. It is a bop, but it's also so bizarre. Mm-hmm. Very, very strange. So were you a Frasier person while Frasier was on?
I was a Cheers person who, you know, you know, I came in, I guess, probably like late in the run of Cheers because I was a small child when Cheers premiered. But I remember, you know, being a big fan of like the Thursday must-see TV and really enjoying like the home stretch of Cheers and like how it was being like treated as like a national loss as Cheers ultimately went off the air, but that
Frasier opened up immediately thereafter, right?
So Cheers ends, I guess, May of 93, and then we come back with Frasier the following fall.
Okay,
and
so there's like a real continuity there. There's no unusual sized break.
Yeah.
That's the classic summer break.
And Frasier really was, you know, not one of the main characters. He was probably like the eighth lead on Cheers.
He showed up in season three of Cheers, and Cheers had like 400 seasons, so he was there forever, huh?
He was there, but you know, it's an ensemble.
Yeah, was he a relatively undeveloped character?
I think that he was a person in the Cheers universe, you know, that he was, you had like people who were, you know, country bumpkins like a Woody Harrelson. And then you also had Frasier, who was like the intellectual who was there to, you know, talk about Shakespeare and whatever. And then people,
Kelsey Grammer things.
He could make jokes about the other like people that were in the bar and they could make jokes about him. So he was like an avatar for like high society that would be able to be there in the Cheers universe.
Was he a natural like first round draft pick for spinoff potential?
No. Yeah. I think that probably one of the most unlikely people that you would imagine for a spinoff to Cheers.
Yeah. So is there like a major story about how this ends up happening that Kelsey Grammer is going to be the person to carry the Cheers torch into the future? Because I understand that he shows up in like a guest starring capacity initially in Cheers, and his character is Diane's fiance or love interest or something like that.
Yeah, that makes sense that he would be like where, you know, Sam Malone is sort of more of the
meat
you
and
know,
potatoes.
Yeah. And that Diane was sort of like always like a little bit like hoity toity. And that maybe that this might be somebody who might be a more tempting suitor for her. Somebody who is a more sophisticated gentleman than the sometimes Neanderthal Sam Malone.
So he shows up and it's intended to be like a fairly quick thing. And then he's as good as he is as Frasier Crane that they decide to keep him around as a staple on Cheers. Mm-hmm. But I guess my question is like, how did it become clear that he should be the one to continue on? And my very quick surface read of this is that Kelsey Grammer had the same question too,
where he's like, I don't think that, like, I should be doing this.
Yeah, so from Wikipedia, they say that the Kelsey Grammer had made a deal with some of the Cheers producers who were moving on from Cheers, that they would do a series together after Cheers ended. And that was not necessarily going to be a Cheers spinoff. But as they were talking, they said, okay, well, what if we just did this as like a, you know, you were still Frasier, but like in a completely different town, in a different city. So basically, right, like in name and character, he's the same person, but there's really not a lot of shared DNA with Cheers.
Right. And that it seems like that was a big part of the reason why they relocated it from Boston to literally the other side of the country, so that like you wouldn't expect Sam to just walk into the bar or whatever, or walk into the radio station. And it seems like there are Cheers crossovers in Frasier, but probably few
and far many between. Yeah, like one episode things of like, oh, Ted Danson is going to be, you don't want to miss it, where, right, you know, like here's Carla is here,
and so like here and there that would happen, but by and large it ends up being its own thing. And so I have like people who are in my life who did not watch Frasier while it was on, but like sort of similar to what you're experiencing right now alongside the great Chappelle with Suits Yourself, the Daily Suits podcast, where you and Chappelle are watching Suits because it became a Netflix sensation overnight. Subscribe, suitspodcast.com.
You're talking about the Suits spinoff, Pearson?
Well, no, that apparently didn't go so great. That people in my life, at least, and this was like, so where I can really flash map my memory of Frasier onto is not long after graduating college, back in the olden days of 2008, that I had a bunch of friends who would be messaging me being like, you know what I've started really getting into on my commute to work? Frasier. Like, it became this big thing among people of my age group who were like binging.
No, I've heard
Frasier.
So Frasier did have like quite a second life, like in syndication, like pre-streaming days, as evidenced by when we did the season 3, episode 7. Former Akiva's biggest stan, Kaya, she moved to Seattle. She was such a big fan of the Frasierverse. So I definitely think that there is a contingent of, you know, 30-something people that are big into Frasier. Now, the people that were watching Frasier on their commute in 2008, what sort of device enabled them to do that?
It's a great question. I don't know if it was actually on their commute or not, or if it was like they would commute home and they'd be like hollowed out by their soulless jobs and they just like watch Frasier. Yeah. And I guess like now watching the first episode, and you know, pilot is always sort of just like a loose gesture at what could come next. But in this pilot, like clearly a big part of it is, well, you got problems. We'll very special episode our way towards figuring it out together. Like some sort of like nice radio in, caller calls in resolution to your meaty life problems that you can apply to your own dear viewer. So like I can imagine like the people like leave their Wall Street job, go home and just like sit and contemplate themselves in front of 7 episodes of Frasier.
There's more substance in an episode of Frasier than there is. And honestly, like, I feel like that as we get through the 90s, you know, Seinfeld and Friends are going to be.
I thought you were going to say, should we check in on Frasier every year and
see how it's doing? No, whereas, you know, Seinfeld and Frasier, I'm sorry, Seinfeld and Friends become the much more like influential and iconic that. But I feel like that those two shows, like there is less substance there with like how, especially Seinfeld, which is like a show about like no hugging, no lessons,
right?
Nobody learns anything,
right?
You know, Friends has some of that, but there's also like a serialized soap opera that goes on over the course of Friends, which, you know, gives it like a little bit more of like a story over the course of its 9 or 10 seasons. But Frasier, on an episode by episode basis, like I do think that 22 minutes is a lot tighter than the rest of what comes out of the sitcom world in the 90s. And I think it's probably more of a throwback to the sitcom world of like the 70s, where, you know, that it's not just supposed to be funny, it's also supposed to be a story.
Right. Okay. So that makes sense to me. And I feel like you're
a
getting
self-contained story more so than a long serialized story over the course of, you know, years of the show.
So like if I decided that I left this episode of Frasier being like, all right, I'm interested. I'd like to check out Frasier, but God, 1,000 episodes feels like a lot. And it's not 1,000 episodes. It's how many?
I'd say 250.
Yeah, let's check. Let's see what the number 264. So you're just a little bit south. Like 264 is a really daunting number, even when the episodes are 23 minutes and I can clear that on double speed. Like that's a lot. That's a lot of show to check out. Could I just like bob and weave? Could I just like pick things up?
Sure. I'm sure you could bounce around if you got like a list of like.
And, like I wouldn't miss a plot.
No,
like,
I don't think so. I think that there's like a little bit of like a serialization in terms of maybe the one thing that's a little bit of a serialized nature is the will they, won't they, which ends up happening with Niles and with Daphne, who
it's with
we meet.
Niles and Daphne. Interesting.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
But other than that, like,
wow,
I
so much
like,
for Maris.
Yes, you can jump in and out of like any like you could like watch. I'm sure there's a list of like the top 10 best Frasier episodes, and that you could just jump in and like you know watch those and not miss too much.
All right, well, let's jump in, Rob, and talk through the pilot of Frasier. The pilot of Frasier, The Good Son, is the name of this episode of Frasier. More on that in a little while here. It begins 6 months after the conclusion of Cheers. So both in real time and in TV time. And I'm using the Wikipedia as guidance here because I really did not fully follow everything that was happening on Frasier. But he is divorced. He's a recent divorcee. He's telling a caller about his backstory, only to come to find out that they had cut to commercial 30 seconds earlier because he was talking too long for radio. But all this is backstory that if you had watched Cheers, you understood vividly. He was married to Bebe Neuwirth.
Yes, Lilith was, you know, an iconic Cheers character also. She will show up here and there.
Okay. And they have a child together.
Yes, which I did not really remember that Frederick is Frasier's son. He does not play a major role in Frasier. I don't know how many times he might show up over the course of the series. But I feel like that he was mostly like retcon from the show. I do wonder if he will be back in the reboot.
It appears that he will be back in a sizable way in the reboot. Just based on my cursory studies of the reboot, it seems like the reboot is going to be much less about the original cast and more about like it's Frasier plus a bunch of new people.
Frasier itself is really the story about the relationships between fathers and sons. And so I think that that would make sense if you were going to do some sort of a Frasier reboot to then have older Frasier, who's probably
it feels like it's going to be an inverse situation where Frasier is going to have to move in with his son and his son is going to have big feelings about it.
Yes. Yeah. And that makes some sense in terms of how they're going to do that, because that very few characters from the original Frasier. I think that Frasier, you know, himself is going to be the only person, Kelsey Grammer, who's
as a series regular for sure. Yeah. David Hyde Pierce does not seem to be involved. No. It looks like a BB Newirth sighting, but
I think I believe also John Mahoney also
passed away. Yes.
Eddie the dog, perhaps not.
Eddie Spaghetti.
Yeah. But so it does seem like that. Frederick does appear. I think his first appearance isn't until season 3, but he's only in a total of 9 episodes of the original Frasier.
All right, so not a ton from Freddie Spaghetti. So Frasier is going to he's doing this show. He's got his talk radio show. His producer is Roz. I think Roz was my favorite character of the episode.
Yeah, I always was a big Roz fan.
Yeah. Yeah, like she like throws it at him. She has like the story of Lupe Velez, which is like kind of dark as hell.
Yeah, and is that true?
I don't know. I don't know the true story of Lupe Velez. It seems like, unfortunately, maybe it is. Yes, it does seem like it is a true story. And it is played for like extraordinary dark comedy, which I kind of appreciated the idea of like using something that is so psychologically twisted and such a sensitive topic and turning it into this moment of like, things happen the way you want it anyway. You just don't quite like have control over the narrative like that. I was like, wow, that's pretty dark and bleak for a 1993 sitcom. But I guess it's maybe suggestive of like the somewhat more mature content of Frasier than I would have given it credit for. I think I would have just applied like this is like a sappy comedy to it. Maybe not.
So Lupe Velez was real, but according to the Frasier subreddit, that this story may be a bit apocryphal.
Yes, yes. Could be. Frasier is going to get a call from the brother. And so we get a title card that says the brother. So these title cards, are they going to happen in every episode?
You know, don't quiz me on this, but sure. I believe
that's your memory of it anyway.
Yeah. And I feel like that.
I like that. Yeah.
You know, that it sort of like really is a show that it's I think that what like Frasier himself. Like, I think that this is probably one of the more highbrow situation comedies that you could possibly like. It feels more like a stage play at times.
Yeah. Well, I like, you know, you think about the storytelling structure of a TV show. And so like the TV show is the book, like the seasons are the books. The show is the saga or the trilogy if you got canceled prematurely and only made three seasons. And the episodes are the chapters. But I feel like not every single – like the act breaks tend to be sort of like where you get like your asterisks or your section breaks and then you move on to like the next bit of the chapter. But a thing that I really love is like your subtitles, like your sub-chapters within the chapters. And so this feels like it has that structure to it that like – an episode feels like it's going to be almost like a novella, like a short story that has its own chapter structure to it. And I felt like in this episode alone, just from watching the one episode that I got to see, is like they already use it for comedy. Like when you get to Eddie and the chapter is called Eddie and you don't know who Eddie is, but Eddie's going to be moving in. And so my expectation is like, okay, here's gonna come like the Joey Gladstone character who's gonna be moving in with Frasier and his dad, and just the dog mean mugging Frasier for 5 seconds.
The dog was iconic.
I can imagine.
Eddie is a breakout star from Frasier.
Eddie has the best character introduction.
The most
of this
famous
show,
Jack Russell Terrier ever.
You think
he put Jack
right?
Russell Terriers on the map?
You think he's more famous than Jack Russell himself?
Yes.
Wow. God. Okay, Eddie Spaghetti, I'm glad to meet you. But like, I love that they are able to like kind of like play around with that in this first episode already. Like the expectations were in one place and they were able to subvert them swiftly. I thought it was pretty funny.
I mean, Frasier is a show that knows exactly like what it is and what it is doing and does so masterfully. And I feel like that if you jumped into a like season 9 episode of Frasier, I don't think it would feel radically different than a season 1 episode of Frasier.
Well, it makes sense. Like the people who make Cheers, they leave Cheers, they go on to make Frasier. They're making Frasier with an actor who they had worked with a ton over the course of making Cheers. So it's sort of like, I mean, I guess all of this is so armchair and probably so basic to the people who know this show super, super well. But like, so I'm just giving you what I've got watching it sight unseen. Like not totally dissimilar from like a Breaking Bad into a Better Call Saul. Or like the Better Call Saul team has 5 seasons of Breaking Bad to get to know each other and the language of the universe and the show. And they've got one actor who they really want to like continue working with. And they know that actor really well. And they're able to come out with like a really masterful second show as well.
So if I may, like, please. I think that might be a little bit of a oversimplification, because I feel like that where on from Breaking Bad to Better Call Saul, that's like the entire creative team of Breaking Bad says, okay, well, Breaking Bad's over.
But
what
we're
are
just
we going to do
started.
Next?
Yeah.
What are we going to do next? Okay, let's take Bob Odenkirk, who is, you know, maybe the 7th or 8th lead on this show.
Right.
And we are going to, you know, continue to work and do this. this was not like the top creators of Cheers. This was like, you know, some producers who worked on Cheers.
Got it. Okay.
Started up a new thing with one of the actors from Cheers that may or may not have even been in the Cheers universe when they got started.
Right.
And it wasn't like necessarily like the, you know, the key creatives at Cheers were working on Frasier.
Got it. Okay. So it's not like that at all. But it was nice for a moment in my mind that it was like that. Okay, so Frasier,
but they were able to like port the fan base of Cheers of like, hey, I hear you like Cheers.
You're right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here is as sort of like an instant fan
check
base
my
for
Frasier
a show.
Crane show. Yeah.
You know, had this been the show, you know, Kelsey Grammer stars as Jack Russell, the therapist. You know, I don't know if it has the same, instant fan base.
Yes. Okay. So the brother, Frasier, goes to a coffee shop and meets up with Niles, played by David Hyde Pierce. This was one of the other things I knew about Frasier, was that David Hyde Pierce is in it and he plays a guy named Niles. People love Niles, Rob. He's a beloved character. Niles.
Yes, he is, you know, very, very fun to have in the mix. It's great to see, you know, Niles. I don't know if he's ever even mentioned over the course of Cheers, but Frasier and Niles are very similar in a lot of ways, but also, you know, have some differences.
Yes, some key differences between Frasier and Niles, one of which is that Niles is still married, it sounds like, to someone named Maris, who Frasier does not seem to care for.
No, and it becomes like a big joke over the course of the series. I believe we never see Maris over the entire arc of 10 seasons of Frasier.
Amazing.
I've seen 11 seasons of Frasier.
Good bit. We love the bit. Niles tells his brother that their father, Martin, a retired police officer who had been shot in the line of duty, is not doing great. He can't take care of himself because he was injured. He was shot in the hip, I think we find out.
Back in the day. It's not a recent injury. Yeah.
Right. But he's just having a hard time as he's gotten older, getting around the home and all this stuff. And so Frasier is coerced into taking his father into his home.
Yeah.
Here comes the central conceit of the show.
Yes. And, you know, they make it sound like, okay, so Frasier's dad has, you know, Martin Crane has like fallen and he needs like around the clock medical supervision. I feel like over the course of 11 seasons of Frasier, I feel like that maybe this is a little overstated here in like, it makes it seem like that he needs like round the clock care where like I get the sense like, you know, if Daphne had to call in sick and Martin Crane was home by himself for a day, I think he'd be okay.
Okay, yeah. I mean, he seems like he's fairly, like, energetic.
He seems pretty virile.
Yeah, he seems virile. Like, he's, like, he, like, is able to, like, move a chair in and whatever. Like, I feel like he's doing okay.
You know,
but
he walks with a cane, but overall, like, I feel like, you know.
Is this a Grandpa Joe situation? Is this a Grandpa Joe where, like, at any moment, Martin could have kicked the cane out of the way and just, like, sang and danced his way?
Oh, I thought you meant, like, sort
of,
like
a Joe Biden?
No, I was not thinking that at all. I was thinking that like is Frasier's apartment the chocolate factory where that this was sort of like a new life for him where he's sort of like bedridden and living alone. Right. But then once he's around Daphne and Frasier and Niles and like in a new setup that he has a second wind. That's what I thought you were saying.
If it's a chocolate factory, then it's a factory that makes scrambled eggs and tossed salads, which is not as good as chocolate, I feel like. Martin moves in and like he's got critiques. He's like, none of the furniture here matches. It's eclectic. Says Frasier.
Yeah.
Frasier's got great furniture. That's expensive stuff he's got.
Expensive furniture. Yeah.
Very expensive
and so
furniture.
There's a clash of styles instantly from Martin, who is much more of like a blue collar lunch pail. Like, hey, give me like the ugliest, like most comfortable lazy boy for me to sit in, where Frasier is much more, you know, high class, highfalutin.
Sure.
Give me like the expensive furniture. I don't care if it's comfortable. It needs to look good.
Yes. So he's blue collar. Frasier is white collar. And then Eddie Spaghetti is yes collar because he's a dog. And I hope that he's got a collar. And so Eddie is also going to be moving in, Martin's dog. So everyone loves Eddie. How does the Frasier fandom feel about Martin Crane?
I think that if you're a Frasier fan, I think you love all of the characters. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what is the dynamic? Like, they heal their rift by the end of the episode, mostly, it seems like. Mm-hmm. Are they, like, on pretty good terms for the show?
No, every episode is a conflict of, you know, Frasier wants
Miles.
Right. Frasier wants to go to the opera. That dad wants to watch the Seahawks game. You know, it's always like conflict over, you know, different things that are going on, and this real clash of styles where Frasier and Niles are much more like their mother has passed. But they seem to really take more after her. And they are really nothing like their father in most ways.
Okay, so differences of lifestyle already in play. Mm-hmm. So Niles and the off-screen Maris tell Frasier that, like, this is going to be a lot of hard work. You're going to need some help with your father. No, we're not taking him in. Yes, we will help pay for like a live-in sitter, basically. Although Frasier does not understand that this is a live-in position, or maybe more pointedly, it's Daphne Moon who doesn't understand that this is a live-in, not a live-in position. She comes in with a lot of assumptions, I feel like, Rob, about how this job is supposed to go. Daphne shows up with a lot of energy. Big energy from Daphne.
Big energy from Daphne. She shows up. I think she's a little bit more wacky here in the pilot, I think, than she is over the course of the series. But maybe some serious Frasier fans will fight me on that. That she's really like talks about how she's like tapped into. She's a bit clairvoyant, you know, at certain points in the Daphne Moon cycle. And so but I don't really remember that as being like, I think she would get like a little like kooky at times. You know, she's definitely like brings like some of the Phoebe energy into it, but I feel like that most of her wackiness comes from where she's like, oh, this reminds me of this one time when I was a wee lass, and she would like tell a story about like that would be like something that would be like very inappropriate from her childhood,
right,
that she looks back innocently at, and everybody just stares at her like, Daphne, she's like, oh, I know what you're thinking. Like, and then she doesn't know what they're thinking.
Yeah. So Daphne seems to at least like there's culture clash between Daphne and Frasier quickly. But between Daphne and Martin, Martin loves Daphne. I guess Martin loves a character is what it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, that she's a real person. He doesn't like people that are, you know, phony baloney. And so that this is somebody who she's sweet. And I think that really does appeal to Martin Crane.
So Frasier is really upset that she thinks that she's to move in now that she has the job. Also, she went to the bathroom while Frasier and Martin debated whether or not to hire her. And she's just like, she could be in a closet for all we know. Frasier and Martin are screaming at each other from across the apartment, just like talking so loudly and like talking like not particularly like glowingly about Daphne. And then she walks out of the bathroom as if she's heard none of this. Sitcom voice is a hilarious thing to me. I guess you got to project because you're talking to a big crowd in the room.
Yeah. You know, people can, you know, have selective hearing on the world broad, of sitcoms. Yes.
Very broad on these sitcoms.
As Frasier will always say, I'm listening.
I'm listening. So Frasier's
Kelsey Grammer does have a great voice.
His inside voice versus his outside voice, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, he has like very soothing radio voice. Do you think that they should be rebooting Frasier as a podcast, an audio drama?
Well, I think that that's going to be something that we will find out in the Frasier reboot of is Frasier a podcaster now?
Probably. And if Paramount Plus is intelligent enough to bank on that, they have already produced some kind of Frasier podcast accompaniment. But I don't know. They hopefully did that before the strikes, otherwise they can't do that. I don't think Frasier's not allowed to do that. So Frasier's mad, he's not having a good time. He goes to work, he tells Roz that he's upset. Roz tells him the story of Lupe Velez. Things might not go as planned, but they work out anyway. Dark, really dark. But this is helpful for Frasier. And what's more helpful for Frasier is that his dad calls in. Dad calls in to the radio show. I am sure first time caller, probably not last time caller would be my guess.
I don't know. I don't think it's a device that they use too much.
Yeah.
You know, in the episode that we watched for season 3, episode 7, you know, Frasier is negotiating, much like, you know, very timely that Frasier is negotiating with the company management over a new contract.
Mm-hmm.
And he is ending up in this very high stakes argument with Mercedes Rule, who is playing the like labor or the leader who is fighting. I guess Frasier is like the union rep.
Okay.
And there's a hot mic situation when Frasier and Mercedes Rule end up becoming promiscuous.
Ooh, okay.
And that gets broadcast out to all of Seattle.
Yikes. Hot stuff on Frasier here in Seattle. Mm-hmm. They get to see, I guess, hear Addle. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So that happens. Martin calls in. He says, I'm sorry about stuff. And Frasier says, I'm also sorry.
That was big of Martin.
Very big of Martin. And Frasier reacts well. And then at the end, Martin says, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Did you hear that, son? I said, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
He did hear him. He heard
him. He heard him.
He heard him.
Yeah.
And then someone calls at the end of the episode. And she's upset about a breakup. And Frasier tells her that she's not upset about the breakup. She's upset that her life is turning out differently than she planned.
Yeah. 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 You're not mourning the breakup. You're mourning the plan that you had for your life. And I felt like this was very relatable
for me. Yes. Same.
Because that, you know, I had a lot of plans for how this next year of my life was going to go.
Yeah.
And then Aaron Rodgers ruptures his Achilles. And I too am in mourning. And not so like I was like Aaron Rodgers, yeah. I'm not, you know, as much sad for Aaron Rodgers as I am sad for me and how I thought that my next year was going to go.
Right. Yeah. I wasn't going to bring it up. But I was thinking about it.
Yes. And maybe, you know, Aaron Rodgers could use like a Roz type character a Daphne type character.
I imagine that if whoever Aaron Rodgers wants to surround himself with, he could surround himself with. His life will be fine. He will be fine.
Sure.
But I am sorry for your loss. That is
Thank
tough.
You. That's I appreciate tough. That.
It's tough deal. The episode ends. Oh, and I believe that guest caller is Linda Hamilton, it seems like. Sarah Connor herself, unless she called earlier in the episode. But Linda Hamilton is credited as Claire, a guest caller. Was she in Cheers ever, Linda Hamilton?
I don't believe so.
This is like a post. This is twice post Sarah Connor here that she's calling into Frasier. So that's interesting. Frasier, I need help. Robots from the future are coming back in time.
From 30 years later.
Me and my son. From 30 years greater from now. Help. The episode ends with the song, which we don't call a theme song then. It's an outro song.
I think it's the outro, but I feel like that the notes are sort of like, Frasier doesn't have like an opening theme song.
Right.
It's just like sort of like, you know, 7 or 8 notes of the closing song.
The ending song. The ending theme, Tossed Salads and Scrambled Eggs by Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah.
That's Kelsey Grammer singing that.
He's jamming, yeah.
Oh, baby, I hear the blues are calling. I'm Kelsey Grammer, Scrambled Eggs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good song. I think I'm going to be thinking about it for at least a week.
Sure. Hopefully he'll come back and sing it for the reboot.
There's no way that they do the reboot and like not bring that song back, right? Like this has to be as identifiably Frasier as anything else on Frasier.
Sure. That I think that they will probably bring it back, but I don't know how much they're going to lean into the psychology aspect in the new one in terms of like calling and So we'll see.
See how it goes.
I would check out an episode of the Frasier reboot.
Sure. So the Frasier reboot, it's coming in about a month. It does appear to be it's just Kelsey Grammer is returning. People got to be not thrilled about that, right? Like, I imagine you get to the end of Frasier and you stuck around through Frasier, not because of Kelsey Grammer specifically, but because of like the surrounding
ensemble.
Right. Yeah. So it doesn't seem like they're coming back.
I'm surprised they couldn't get Daphne to come back, but I don't know, maybe creatively if they couldn't work it out. Like, why would she be, if she's supposed to be with Niles at the end of the show?
Right. And if David Hyde Pierce doesn't want to do it for whatever reasons, then like that makes it sad. So they don't do it. It looks like both B.B. Newirth and Perry Gilpin will have recurring roles. So Lilith and Roz will return in some capacity. Spoilers that Lilith and Roz survive the first iteration of Frasier. So that's not great for me.
Yeah.
And then Freddie, his son, will be a part of it. And this episode, the series premiere of Frasier, The Good Son, the series premiere of the Frasier reboot, The Good Father. Rob.
Oh, okay.
So mirror images for sure. So one of the things we like to do here on the podcast is try to imagine what a reboot of Frasier would look like. And you are typically assisted by ChatGPT, who is revealing themselves to be maybe a movie fan, but maybe not the best writer on the planet, and perhaps that job should remain in the hands of humans. But with the Frasier reboot, does ChatGPT have any thoughts about this?
Yeah, okay, so I did ask ChatGPT to give us a pitch for the reboot of Frasier set 30 years later. Now, it did go in a different direction than what the wizards over at Paramount Plus have come up with.
Okay.
It's called Frasier: Latte Days, Venti Nights.
Ooh, okay. Because the coffee shop is a big part of it?
I guess so.
Okay. All right, let's hear it. Latte Days and Venti Nights.
Yeah, okay. All right. So, all right. The reboot, Frasier: Latte Days, Venti Nights, will reignite the Frasier story for a new generation, still featuring Frasier's radio talk show, but this time, it's also a podcast and a YouTube channel.
Okay. Okay. Course, yes. Subscribe at FraserPodcast.com/YouTube to the
now. YouTube. So they were able to get the whole cast together. Okay.
Of course. Yes.
All right. So Niles and Daphne, they have a teenage daughter who's struggling with her mental health, and it forces Niles to question the efficacy of traditional psychiatry. So it's a little heavy.
Okay.
Okay. Then Roz is now a successful executive producer, but she's navigating the ethical quandaries of fake news and sensationalism in the modern day media.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my favorite part. Martin Crane sadly has passed away, leaving Frasier and Niles to sort through their feelings via a shared VR environment that simulates their old home. So they go into virtual reality and interact with their dad who has passed.
Okay. Wow. So they're taking it digital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So here's some of the characters and what's going on. So Frasier, he's back in Seattle, and he's
a
older
real
and wiser.
Theme with these ChatGPT reboots, I've noticed.
Yes.
We always go to the digital realm, don't we?
ChatGPT loves to talk about itself.
You know, they say write what you know.
Write what you know.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Frasier is keen on making his mark again, but he's struggling with new platforms like TikTok and Twitter.
Okay, that same. Tracks. Yeah.
Big same.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So here are some of the episodes. Okay. They have an episode that is called The Influencer and the Intellectual. Frasier attempts to go viral with the help of Alice, but faces backlash for an old episode that was deemed politically incorrect.
Oh, no, they're pulling an episode from streaming.
And this was also, I guess, a theme, because another one of the episodes ChatGPT pitched was called Canceling Crane. The Cranes face cancel culture after Frasier's old comments resurfaced.
Sure, that feels likely as well. Yeah.
Frasier apparently was very problematic in this world. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. And then they do have an episode called Latte Days, Venti Nights. Frasier and Roz reminisce about the old times over coffee, only to realize that their favorite coffee shop has been replaced by a crypto cafe.
Oh, man. So what? Like, instead of giving you coffee, it gives you crypto?
I guess you go there to go buy crypto.
Oh, wow. That's not going to nourish you the same way.
Yeah.
You're not going to get caffeinated on crypto.
All right. So that's, I mean, I don't know.
Let's
I don't know
see
about
the reboot.
This.
The actual reboot has better ideas than the current reboot, the ChatGPT reboot.
Yeah. Okay. So they say it's not just a comedy. It's a mirror reflecting our ever-changing world. And yes, we're listening.
Yes, we're listening. Yeah, that's what he says every time, right? Yes, we're listening.
I'm listening.
Yes. I'm listening. I'm listening.
I'm Fraser Crane.
We thank all of you for listening to Rob and I talk about Frasier and tolerating my Neanderthal Frasier takes.
Yeah. Here. I don't think you have a Neanderthal.
I don't know it.
You don't know it, but you're not
going to. It's always embarrassing when you talk about a thing that everybody supremely knows and you're like, I don't know what this is.
I think that doing this for a long time is that, and this is where, you know, I'm not going to name names as any of my other co-hosts, but I think when you come in and say, hey, I've never watched an episode of this thing, but it's terrible. It sucks.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that anybody ever faults you for saying like, hey, I don't know this and I'm learning it.
Right.
And I think that where people get offended is when you come in and say, I know nothing about this, but
you guys, your thing stinks. Here's a generalization.
Here's a generalization about the thing that I did not watch and know nothing about.
I'm just trying to look at it and understand. I just want to look at it and understand and maybe like have some appreciation for this thing that people seem to really love. You know, I can certainly see the shape of it for sure.
And for me also, like the episodes of Frasier that I have watched recently, you know, I feel like I kind of know Frasier.
Yeah.
Because I'm friends in real life with Stephen Fishback, who I think is the closest that I come to knowing Frasier. And Stephen's not a psychiatrist.
No.
But I do think that they have like certain similar characteristics.
Yes. Very, very highly intelligent human beings. I bet Fishback's got an Eames chair. I would expect an Eames chair in the Fishback household. And if not,
maybe
he should get one. Yeah. That would be very comfortable for Stephen.
He has a brother too.
He does have a brother. Okay. So that is Frasier for this week. 30 years Frasier or 30 years less, Rob, for Frasier? The pilot.
I mean, I think that the pilot might be better than the Frasier reboot.
Yeah, I guess we have to like wait to answer the question when Frasier returns after a 30-year, I guess not a 30-year absence, more closer to like a 20-year absence.
It it's like. Been, maybe 19 years since it's been gone.
Yeah, 19 years greater. So I guess we'll see. I enjoyed it. I had a good time watching Frasier. Don't know if I'll keep going. I'm a little busy with my Buffy the Vampire Slayer binge. Currently midway into season three at this moment in time. And pretty soon, I know that at the end of season three, there's a big vocal contingent of like, oh, well, now you're also going to have to watch Angel simultaneously with Buffy. And I'm like, gosh, that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
But I am really enjoying the show, so maybe I'll do it. Okay, so that's Frasier. Next week, Rob, I don't know the last time you consulted our little schedule that we
I like to be surprised. I made a
tiny little switcheroo that's not going to affect your life then if you weren't paying attention to the schedule. But I feel like we were going to talk about it in a few weeks. So we were going to talk about this thing anyway. But the fact that it shares its title with the name of the very first episode of Frasier.
Okay.
This is how we have to Brendan Fitzpatrick, Zach Brooks movie ladder this thing. We are going from Frasier, the series premiere called The Good Son, to the Macaulay Culkin and Elijah Wood starring thriller The Good Son.
Yeah.
The Good Son coming next on 30 Years Greater, originally released September 24th, 1993. Have you seen The Good Son before, Rob?
I definitely saw it in the real time, but I have not seen it since.
Do you remember anything about it?
I remember. So there's Macaulay Culkin, and then there is
Elijah Wood.
I don't remember who is whom. But there's like one kid was the biological son, and then another kid got adopted, correct? And then one is very naughty.
Yes, this naughty was the word I was going to use as well. If you have podcasted with me for more than five podcasts, my guess is I have referenced The Good Son because I often refer to the classy way to do it is like the Sophie's Choice. The Survivor way to do it is the Wraith's Choice. And then the Josh Wigler way to explain a really difficult choice is the end of The Good Son. We'll talk about The Good Son.
This a Good Son-like decision for you to decide what we're going to do next week?
Yes, very much so. I had to release something in order to cover The Good Son. So wild movie coming next. I haven't watched it in like 3 or 4 years, but I try to check in on The Good Son with some regularity. A Macaulay Culkin role that is... remarkable. Let's call it remarkable. And like a very like sweet little Elijah Wood role as well.
Mm-hmm. This is Macaulay Culkin at the height of his powers.
Yes,
coming off of Home Alone.
He shall never Kevin McAllister again, but there is a world in which like The Good Son is sort of like a natural extension of the direction that Kevin McAllister was arcing towards. So we can talk about that.
Home Alone 1990, then My Girl 1991, Home Alone 2 1992, and Good Son 1993. So yes.
And while we will have an opportunity to talk about My Girl 2, unfortunately, we won't see Macaulay Culkin in it. We'll talk about Macaulay Culkin in The Good Son instead, and then return to him at some point in time for Richie Rich, I imagine. Mm-hmm. So The Good Son coming next to 30 Years Greater. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. postshowrecaps.com/30 is the RSS link when you search by URL, or just search Post Show Recaps 30 Years Greater wherever you get your podcasts. Ratings and reviews, so greatly appreciated. If you want to watch the video versions, postshowrecaps.com/YouTube is the way to do that. You can keep the conversation going with us on the internet. I'm at Rand Howard wherever you can find me. Rob is at Rob Sesternino. Rob, what else is going on in your neck of the woods?
As you mentioned, just podcasting Suits every single day. I guess I'm kind of relieved we're not doing Frasier every single day. Frasier would have been like twice as long. But the episodes would have been shorter.
We could clear Frasier within a year, you know, if we wanted to do it.
Maybe if the Frasier reboot ends up like creating an incredible interest in Frasier, the original series. I guess never say never.
Okay. All right. Put that out there. Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Yeah. And then Survivor is going to be back in less than 2 weeks at this point. And then also Big Brother is going. Amazing Race is around the corner. So just podcasting away, keeping me busy.
It's
keeping me out of trouble.
Keeping you out of trouble, at least theoretically. Mm-hmm.
Time I have to stay in this room, the less chance that I have of getting in trouble doing
in the real world
crimes. Yeah. But the higher the chance that, like Frasier Crane,
you'll have to cancel Sesternino episode.
Higher a chance that I get canceled.
All right. Well, this podcast shall not be canceled. So this episode of the podcast, we are closing out now. So to Frasier, usually I say we hope to see you again in 30 years, but maybe we will see you in 30 days when you come back to Paramount Plus. And to everybody else, and specifically to Macaulay Culkin, The Good Son, we will see you next week. Until then, everybody, take care. Bye-bye.